Tommy Tallarico, president of Intellivision Entertainment, is here to live to talk to us about the upcoming Intellivision Amico and the NES game Color a Dinosaur. Just kidding, we're not getting to Color a Dinosaur. Tonight is April 5th, 2020, and the Bobby Likle Show featuring Intellivision is up next. Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is Edwin Akeriper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Pro tip, everything's going to break when you have the most people watching. How are you doing? I should actually ask that every time. How are you doing? It's my weekly check-in. I hope you're doing okay. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very special edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. You're joining us live here on Twitch. Welcome. We're at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. We are here each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, talking about a lot of video game stuff, kind of more like an AM radio talk show format. But that's not what we're doing tonight. If you can't be here live, that's fine. The audio podcast is going to be around. We're actually putting this up on YouTube as well. So this is going to be one of the few shows that's actually going to be on our YouTube page so you can see it, because we have our video on demand, but they're locked behind Twitch subscribers, and we don't want to make you have to subscribe to see this. But you can join our Discord, vognetwork.com/Discord, throughout the week if you want to talk about other things going on in the gaming's industry. But tonight, we're going to go ahead and jump into the interview, and I'm going to introduce him in just a second. He is Tommy Tallarico. He is the president of Intellivision Entertainment. He's also my first interview that I ever had on this show. See, I've been doing this podcast since 2005, and Tommy came on in 2006 to talk about video games live. And so we got to talk a little bit about that. So I do really just really quickly want to set just one little ground rule for people who've probably never been on the been here before or anything like that, is that I am not embedded in the retro gaming community. I greatly appreciate it, as I'm sure you could kind of see. This is a little bit of my collection that's behind me, but I am not embedded in it. I haven't gotten every single ounce of detail or anything like that. So if you're here and you've watched like every single interview, or you've seen read every single bit of information, you're looking for something new, I'm probably not going to be asking anything you haven't heard before. And I'm just going to put that out there right up front. My audience mostly hasn't seen all that stuff. So we're going to be covering a lot of the basic stuff that you're going to be like, I heard the answer to this 6 months ago. Yes, you have. And congratulations. But I really want other people to hear about it, and most of them are who listen to my show. And so that's what we're going to be doing. So if you if you're here looking for hard-hitting new stuff, you probably won't get that here unless Tommy decides to share it, and that's on him. I'm not going to push the issue, but if you do have questions, I will be calling them from the chat room over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. So let me go ahead and make sure that this is all still working, because you never know with any of this if how things are going to work out, because everything broke in the beginning. But I'm going to bring them up on screen. Ladies and gentlemen, Tommy Tallarico, he's a rebel. He's right there. How you doing, Tommy?
Hey, pretty good. Thanks for having me. So wait a second. I you're talking on Twitter. So 2006 was the last time. That's 4 years ago.
Yes.
How, you know, I was trying to think of this day. How long, first of all, congratulations for being on the air 15 years. That's pretty amazing.
Thank you.
But I was thinking back, and I'm like, when was the first time that me and you met? Let me guess. You might know the answer, yeah. But I want to throw out a guess. I believe it was, I want to think it was that that Philly Game Expo or something, which was probably maybe 17 or 18 years ago, 19 years ago.
So
what?
Tell me what. That was 2004. But I was okay. I was a moderator on the G4 forums. So
I'm sorry
we
to
really
hear that.
First met in 02.
Okay.
So yeah, so we Tommy and I go way back, and we actually haven't spoken in a while. So I'm glad to see everything's going well.
Yes.
And that now you're doing all this on top of still doing some video games live stuff, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was actually supposed to play in Virginia this weekend, but everything was canceled pretty much for the rest of the year because of everything that's happening. But when I was doing video games live, I was doing 40, 50 shows a year all over the world. When I started this new in television, I backed it way down to about one a month just to kind of keep it going and to keep my crew working and stuff like that. So, but now it's, we have shows already booked for 2021 on our website, videogameslive.com. Everything for the rest of the year got wiped out. It's crazy.
Yeah. But we're here and we're talking about Intellivision, and I want to start kind of at the beginning because I grew up on Intellivision.
I see all your stuff in the background there. I'm very impressed.
This is not all of it. This is just all the stuff I could fit in frame. But I wanted to ask, like, what your first back in the '80s? What was your first time with Intellivision? What was your first game? What were your early memories of Intellivision?
Yeah, that's a great question. Now, a lot of people have actually asked me that. And I have some great pictures when I was 7, 8 years old. Or no, sorry. I would have been 11, 12 years old. 12 years old of me playing my Intellivision. I still have those pictures, which is really cool. So we got one Christmas in 1980. Santa brought it. Mm-hmm. And I remember opening it up for the very first time, and on the first day, Christmas Day, and it was me, my mom, my dad, and my younger brother, the four of us, and we were playing skiing and television skiing. That was kind of the first one we played together. Of course, we had Astro Smash and baseball, and later on we got things like, I think skiing was the first game. Now I'm doubting myself, but anyway, my memories, you asked me about my memories, and it would be playing skiing. Like my mom would be, 100% Italian family. So my mom's in the kitchen making the sauce, and then mom, it's your turn. And she could put the wooden spoon down, come on in, play around to skiing. Boom. She's back in the kitchen, so it was, this kind of like easy kind of jump in, jump out stuff is you don't really see that anymore in group settings, which is really the whole reason why I wanted to do this is to bring back couch co-op. Mm-hmm. Now, Bobby, I know you're a huge gamer.
Yeah.
If you think back in your lifetime and you say to yourself, what are all my best gaming memories and moments? I guarantee it was when you were with other people, right?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it was GoldenEye on the N64, Bomberman, Mario Kart, Tekken. Maybe you were doing Halo, Landlines. Mm-hmm. So what are some of your favorite gaming moments? Because it was always with a group of people, right?
Yeah, it was always either Mario Kart on the N64. There mm-hmm. were some Time Splitters 2 on the PS2 later on, but then like Rock Band and those type of moments. So yes, it's
now,
absolutely couch co-op.
Now you're more, I would probably consider more of a hardcore gamer. Mm-hmm. When was the last time that you got a whole bunch of group of friends or family together and played a couch co-op game?
We had a Smash Brothers tournament at New Year's Eve last year, two years ago, and then Jackbox Party Pack.
Right. So this is kind of my point, right? That Smash Brothers, I bet your non-gamer friends or your parents or grandma or whatever, they're not playing Smash Brothers 2 with you, right? I mean, Smash Brothers with you.
No.
And so that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to create a console where people can come together no matter what your skill level is and play games, simple, easy, affordable games, play together. You know, it comes with two controllers. You can hook up to 8 devices to it for free, mobile devices. You just download our free app. And that's the thing, is that we, you know, our four pillars of the company are simple, affordable, family, and entertainment. And those four words spell out SAFE, S-A-F-E, because we don't allow loot boxes or in-app purchases or microtransactions or payable DLC. There's no in-app purchases. None of the games on our system are, you know, have violence. They're not even teen rated, let alone mature. So there's no violence, no sexual content, no bad language, anything like that. So we want to create a system that parents can trust. All the games are $9.99 or less, and we do have, and that's the digital version of the games, but we also do have physical media as well. And we've gone around and gotten some of the biggest video game licenses, not only for retro games, but some of the biggest entertainment licenses, sports licenses, board game licenses, toy company licenses, which we're going to be announcing later this month, all those relationships. That's the thing, is that feeling that you had growing up, that connection that you had with those people or with your parents, maybe it was an older, younger brother or sister, that feeling that you have, that's what I want to bring back.
Right.
That's the thing that's missing in video games, because since the internet took over in the late 90s, now multiplayer gaming means a kid in a dark room with his headphones on.
Yes. And I've always rallied against that, too. I'm like, no, there should be more couch co-op, which is why I liked the direction Nintendo went and why I latched onto the Intellivision. And full disclosure, I didn't say this in the beginning. I am a founder of Amico. I did buy the Founders Pack last time.
Oh, cool. Thanks.
So I am so just putting that bias out there. I also just have fond memories of the Intellivision, because, like, this is not my original console, because my original console died. This is an eBay replica, but I will say, my favorite game as a 4-year-old was Frogpog. And what I'm actually showing is the actual same cartridge that I had as a 4-year-old. This is the same one. So I still had the cartridge of it, and I've bought some more on eBay that have the box stuff, because my brother didn't keep the boxes.
This is a Bobby Black Wolf exclusive, a VOG exclusive. This is my dog, Houdini.
There's Houdini right there. Hello. Such a good
He's
boy.
Never been on an Intellivision interview before, I don't believe.
13 out of 10. Heckin' good doggo right there.
No, that's great. And, you know, and you have connection to that cartridge, right? It's just a piece of plastic and a circuit board. But to you can think about that and it brings back so many fond memories and so much connection to family and friends. And that's the magic we want to capture, because we feel it really is missing.
And then these were my other, because I was a kid, so these were the Electric Company Word Fun and Math Fun.
Yeah, Word Fun and Math Fun. I got to bring those back.
Yeah, so I loved all those. So
you did love them. Yes. Well, me and my brother used to play Math Fun all the time. Yes. You know, you know the music. You're the music guy like me. So
So no, I that's why I was excited to see what you were doing. And so we actually did have a question here from Art of Mana. He asked, you know, was the Intellivision your first console?
So it was actually my second console, because my dad, the first time, our first home console was a Coleco Telstar. I think I have it. Oh, no, it's downstairs. I have my actual first video game console still. And so that was my very first one, was a Coleco Telstar. But that was just basically Pong, you know. Yeah. But Intellivision was the one where, and again, with Pong, it was just kind of a two-player thing. But Intellivision was the one where everybody kind of got together in the graphics. And it was the one that we were all most excited about, you know, like, and would constantly play all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for me, it was my brother was swayed by George Plimpton.
And, oh, no way.
And he wanted the better graphics. He's 14 years older than I am, so he made the purchasing decisions.
Wow.
So he was the one who picked the Intellivision over the Atari. So we did not have a 2600. I didn't even have a 2600 until mid-2000s. I played them at other people's houses.
So let me ask you this. So sibling-wise, you have a brother that's 14 years older.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have people in between or people that are younger or over?
There is, but he didn't live with us.
Okay. And then now, did you grow up with mom and dad in the house?
Yes.
Okay. And did they ever play in television with you, or is it just you and your older brother?
I think they only play – because my dad was an electrical engineer. And so he was already on the Commodore 64 at that time.
Got it.
So he taught me how to program. He actually was a software developer. He wrote the book on one of the older programming languages, the Clipper database programming language. He actually like toured the country and talked about all that stuff. So we had all the computers because of that. And he stuck on the computer side, so he was on CompuServe and Prodigy. We were founding members. So that's where he was. I don't think he played the Intellivision that much with us. It was more for us.
Got it. Did you play with your dad, though,
on
C64?
Yes, we did.
So when was the last time? Are your parents still alive?
My mom is. My father passed away a couple years ago.
Oh, sorry to hear that. And when was the last time you played video games with your mom or your older brother?
It's been a while. I do remember, like, when
Wii,
I was in...
maybe?
Huh?
Was it Wii, maybe? Bowling?
Actually, yeah, I think I did bring my Wii over to my mom's place, and she played some bowling with us.
Right. And that was – so – and this is – again, this is my point to bring it back around. That's what we want to bring back. We want to – we're creating games where your mom can jump in and, by the way, beat you.
Yes.
Yeah. You know? Like, because right now the way gaming works, and I'll use Fortnite as a perfect example or whatever it is, the kids are on Roblox or Minecraft, their parents have 0% chance of beating them. And you know what I mean? The difficulty level of all these games to get into it, I mean, it's a time suck. It takes hours and hours and days and months and sometimes years to get, you know, epically amazing at these games. What about just a fun in and out experience? And the problem is that all the hyper casual games and edutainment for kids are all on mobile now. But the problem with mobile, aside from all the transactions and all that stuff and the curation, there's zero curation, 1,000 new games a week. But the biggest thing is it's all solitary. So every single hyper casual game in the world right now, and edutainment is just solitary. Yeah. So there's no opportunity for your mom to play a video game with you anymore, right? Yeah. Unless you pull out the 14-year-old Wii, which a lot of people do.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and I remember, like, the story that I have, and people are asking who's interviewing who. We're having a conversation. We are old friends having a conversation. You're just watching. click subscribe. So the memory I have of my parents was actually after the Intellivision era, but it was because, and I like telling this story, is the Nintendo World Championships 1990. I was a semifinalist in Atlanta. And my parents did not come with me on Friday when I went to the Atlanta semifinal. And this was you had like 6 minutes or something to do 50 coins in Super Mario Brothers, one lap in Rad Racer, and the rest of your points in Tetris. But because I was a semifinalist, I got invited back on Sunday night, and my parents had to come with me. And that's when they saw Tetris for the first time. That week, a Nintendo Entertainment System showed up in the kitchen so they could play Tetris. And they even bought, like, Monopoly for the NES so they could play Monopoly without having to deal with the board and things like that. And so that's probably the last memory I have of playing games with my parents was actually in the 90s. I tell everybody I'm 29 years old, but that was when I was in high school. So you can do the math on that.
Right, there you go. That's awesome.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about, because a lot of what the Amico is based on, and it's inspired a lot by the original Intellivision. There was one question I always wanted to ask, because the controllers that you have, for the people that haven't seen it, and I'm also kind of describing it for our audio podcast listeners who don't have the benefit of video, are kind of based like the original controller. So Tommy's showing it here on the YouTube or the Twitch channel, where it's got the screen on the top and then it's got the dial on the bottom. And when I heard about this, the idea initially, I thought that this was going to be kind of neat, because if I take out the original Intellivision, one of the things that was really unique about the Intellivision that they were doing in the 80s are these little carts. And so I'm holding up Frog Bog's carts. Yeah. And what you would do is you would take your corded controller and you would slip it into the top. And this would tell you
overlay.
What each of the buttons. Yeah, the overlays would go in. And that way you would then know your controller is set to, you know, it shows you what that game does. And one of the things that was nice about this, and so this, the question is more like, how are you guys kind of designing around this, or what developer guidelines you have, is that these buttons are raised. So once you know where they are, you don't have to look at the controller.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know on the Amico, it's more like a phone screen that doesn't have the raised buttons or anything like that. So what are you guys kind of doing to make it so you don't have to constantly look up and down at the screen if you're trying to control something on your TV?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We have, we have a video on our YouTube channel. People can check out Intellivision on YouTube. And we have these videos called Meet Amico videos. And one of them from last week, we showed Missile Command. Because the cool thing about this is that it's really you can see how smooth the screen works. It's really diverse. Like I swear to you, I don't think there's two Intellivision games, and we have about 50 in production right now. I don't think there's two games that use the controller the same way. So on Missile Command, for example, you're using the screen as, and so wherever you're touching on the screen, the reticle of Missile Command, because back in the old days, it was a rollerball, right?
Yeah.
But trying to play Missile Command with a D-pad or an analog stick is absolute trash. It sucks, right? So on this, as you're moving this, the reticle, so it's almost like a mouse almost, right? Mm-hmm. But one quick thumb movement. So you never even have to look down, because you're always, you know, wherever your thumb is going, you're seeing it on the screen. So that's just, you know, that's one way. And again, the great, and now with Missile Command, in case you haven't seen the video, the button now, the disc, now becomes a directional button. No one's ever seen or done anything like this that I know of. Meaning, in Missile Command, you know, you have your left, your right, and your center turrets. So depending on where you push down, and you see it light up
that
too.
You can
see it. You know, oh yeah, it's a woohoo, so pretty, and the buttons light up as well. But so depending on where you push, this now becomes a directional button. And so if you want to, you know, film them from the, hit them from the left, hit them from the right, or for down, it just takes the easiest one. It's the easiest way to play, because it just takes the closest turret and you know, fires it from there. So most people just keep hitting down. And so that's for that. But there's another game that we showed as well called Sideswiper, where it's a car crashing game. And all you do is you speed up and slow down, speed up, slow down. So your car's on a track, and it's like Crisscross Crash, if you remember that from Mattel Hot Wheels. And when you smash into somebody, now typically in a video game, now you'd have to sit out and just wait for everybody else to play. Well, our whole, the way I, you know, having people, you know, developers think outside the box, and I personally designed almost every single game so far for the system, because it is something that's such a different way of thinking. And so in that instance, when you crash out a car, you look on the screen, and then on the screen you can see the traps that you want to set. And so you can look up and then look down and say, okay, the magnet's on the top. And you really just look down for a second, but you're not doing anything. Your car isn't driving at that point. Mm-hmm. And so you just, so you can adjust yourself. I'll give you another example, Bobby. You know, a lot of people don't even put who play in television, like in modern times, you know, or even back then, a lot of people never even used the overlay. You know,
it was just
like memory, like, you know, to get quicker. Like for example, Major League Baseball on Intellivision, when it's hit to left field, your brain just goes, boom, upper left, because I want the left fielder, right? Mm-hmm. So, and that's what we're, you know, so in the few games that we have where you actually have to look on the screen, you're typically not looking on the main screen, but mm-hmm. in those games that you do, like baseball, for example, it's just automatic. You're just like, boom, it's just muscle memory at that point.
Yeah. So you don't think that like the lack of the raised buttons is going to hurt or anything?
No, I mean, we did a lot of testing on that. We, at one point we had a little bump in the middle of the screen. So say like, oh, I could feel myself centered. You know, and then we used to have a version. Actually, I have some over here. Hold on a second. I'll show you.
I'm about to pull up the Color of Dinosaur music while he's gone.
No, you're not. No, you're not. I'm back. but you can see another version of this where, let me see if I can get it close, but it's, see how it's got yeah. ridges here? It's mm-hmm. it's all cornered. You see how the whole thing isn't glass? It's plexiglass. Just that part is. You can see it better on this one as well. So we had versions like that. You can see the final version. The whole thing. It looks a lot cleaner.
Yeah.
And so we did a lot of tests, and we found that this one being the best. Here I can. Oh Jesus!
Uh-oh, it broke. Don't break it.
No, I'm just kidding. It's broken. I just spent $1 million. So you can see the gyroscope and accelerometer working on there. It's just a little test we have. I showed you the screen, yeah. how silky smooth, just like a mobile device. This one's really cool. So most D-pads have 8 directions. This has 64. So you can see the with the reflections yeah. kind of there, but you can see it has a 64, lights up. And then the harder you push down, you see that green?
Yeah.
So it's like sensitive as well. The harder I push down, it goes up too. So anyway, it's pretty unique, you know. And it has a speaker and a microphone, a gyroscope and an accelerometer. So you'll see this on here too. So, you know, when you're playing cornhole bowling or mm-hmm. you know, things like that, you know, it you have the strap on it as well, so sometimes you hold it like this, sometimes you hold it like the old one, sometimes you hold it this way, sometimes you hold it that way. And you can also see too from the back of it, also has force feedback in here as well, wireless charging,
okay.
and a whole RFID system built throughout the whole console. Here's one of the things. So, you know, it kind of fits right in here. Mm-hmm. And I haven't actually told anyone this ever before either, but the there's actually little magnets that went. So when you put this in, it actually just, boom, it's just kind of, I don't have the magnet on this version because this is an older version of the console, but the final version, you go boom, and it just like attaches there. You could literally go like that, and it won't come off. So that's kind of cool. And again, it charges while it's on the base. You can see the ports in the back there. So it's you don't have to worry. You know, it's a full on, you know, 120 to 240. There's an SD slot. So if you'd like, you know, to extend the memory, there's 16 gig on board, and we're going to try to get that to 32. Actually, we haven't mm-hmm. made the final decision. We're trying to upgrade for folks. Now, this one, the USB 3, is going to change to a USB C. So it's the same speed. It's just a smaller, you know, it's a smaller and more convenient thing that a lot of the, you'll notice here on the side of the controller as well, the USB. And so that's cool. And then you have two other USB ports, so you could be charging other things, or we could use them as, you know, peripherals for this as well. And then, of course, the HDMI out. So this is an older model. This is about 6 months old, but it's kind of the one I use for demonstration now.
And that way you can drop it and you're not worried.
I can drop it like I just did this and I'm not worried. That's right. This isn't even this is the final design. Obviously, this is just a 3D printout and stuff, but
right.
These are the final shapes, but obviously not the final colors or anything like that.
Art of Mana asks if there's going to be any kind of like silicone sleeves for the controllers.
Yes. Hey, watch this. On your mark, get set, go. Abracadabra. You
what?
Mean like this? Like so. So, I mean, you can. I mean, we have this that put in, but I think what this is like a traveling case. But I think what he's talking about is probably more like the Wii, how there was, you know, where you could put, you know, cases. Not something we have right now. Probably maybe something a third party might do, but we'd be open to it. I don't know. See, it's really hard though, because I can tell you, like, I spent so much time on the design of this. You can see how. You know, see how it's curved a little bit, like a bar of soap almost?
Mm-hmm.
And that makes such a big difference when you're holding it like this. And look at where my fingers go, right? It's not like, look at most controllers where they're just totally square in the background. I mean, as great as the NES and Super Nintendo were, or their controllers were really, rectangles. They were brutal, the corners. So you'll see always nice rounded corners. And we did so many tests about, you know, okay, we needed to move it a hundredth of a millimeter. But you see how great your fingers just cup right in there. And there's a groove like within there. See how it comes up a little bit more too? It's not just like a groove. It goes in. So your fingers fit in really nice. And then, of course, when you're holding it like this, you say, well, what about, doesn't this hit in like that? And those buttons get disabled, but you can see they're recessed in a little bit. And so it really doesn't. It'd be very difficult to hit this button, the bottom, while you're holding it like that. So a lot of time, energy, I mean, over a year just on the controller design and shape.
Opti wants to know in chat, what's the battery life on those controllers?
About 5 to 6 hours, which is great, because, I mean, if you're playing a single-player game, you'll have one in the charger anyway. But the other important thing, too, is that, you know, the type of games that we're making, we don't necessarily want people playing for 6, 7, 8, 10 hours. I mean, I'm the first CEO of a video game company that you'll ever hear say this, but you know what? People shouldn't play video games all the time. Go outside and play. Go outside and do things. You know, we want it to be a casual, fun, enjoyable experience. And we see our stuff is like, we all play this for maybe 15, 20 minutes. Boom. Okay. Let's play the car crash game. Boom. Let's go to Shark. Oh, let's go to Frog Bog. And now 2 hours have passed and everybody's having fun and this and that. So we don't see it like, okay, it's Red Dead or Call of Duty. Let's sit in our cave with our headphones on for the next 12 hours. Oh my God, is it nighttime already? Shit, where did the day go? That's not the type of experience that, that we're going for, you know?
Challenge accepted, though. When I get mine, I'm going to do an 8-hour straight live stream.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
Just because you told me not to.
No. Do as I say, not as I do.
That's right. Fastfeed 76 asked a question. The Founders Edition sold out. I was one of those. You're welcome.
Yes.
Did the VIP Edition sell out too, or are sales good so far, or what can you share about
that? Yeah. So, in fact, Dean Takahashi, who from VentureBeat, one of the most well-known and respected video game journalists, just put out a story yesterday on VentureBeat. And We had was a limited run of, so we did 2,600 of the Founders Editions. I'm sure you know where I got that number from to poke a little fun at our old rivals Atari. Yeah. So we wanted to do 2,600. They sold out in under 5 hours. That was back in January.
Yep.
And so we did a VIP order, because we need to understand, because of coronavirus and everything that's going on, look, everything's going to be scarce this this Christmas. All the electronics, all this fall, Nintendo's already run out of stuff. Sony and Microsoft for the PlayStation 5 and Xbox, there's rumors they might slip into 2021. There's rumors they might be a very limited release. And so, you know, so all these things are happening to everybody. And so that's why we did this VIP order. And we're only going to put it on for like a week, right? So we're, you know, from Tuesday, we started it last Tuesday, the Tuesday that passed. We'll probably shut it off this Tuesday, although we might even extend it to Friday because a lot of people get paid on Fridays. And we're offering three machines, the Vintage Wood Grain, the Graphite Black, and the Glacier White. So they're limited in that we're shutting it off. You know, we're shutting that particular thing off, you know, next week. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, we've done over, well, you know, the interesting thing is we've actually sold more Amicos now than Atari has sold their VCS, and they had like their whole Indiegogo campaign and everything. But yeah, we sold about 10,000 pre-orders already. That's on top of the 2,600 Founders Editions. And we're probably going to do, you know, a couple thousand more by next week. But the amazing thing is we're going to be in all major retailers. Again, Corona might affect some of this stuff, but I'm as of today, right now, the system's still on track to come out on 10/10/2020. It's going to be, there you go, it's going to be very limited. They will be hard to find. But the limited is going to be, you know, like I said, it's going to be the time. And we need to figure out, you know, how many our biggest followers and fans who want to put down some money, we need to figure out exactly how many we need to make minimum. And the reality is that everything has exceeded our expectations. Our purchase orders, we had to tell stores, stop, we can't take anymore because it's impossible for us to make that many by even Christmas, and those numbers might be affected. But we've already gotten over 100,000 pre-orders just in the United States alone. And again, this isn't some, you know, retro box or, you know, some like $50 or $59 or $89 or $99 item. This is a brand new console, a name that people haven't really, you know, maybe focused on in 40 years. Mm-hmm. And out of the gate, we're coming out with 100,000 pre-orders just in the United States alone. By the way, we're launching in the US, in Canada, in the UK, in Germany, and Middle East. All boom, out of the gate. And we've had to shut people off. Like, we were like, we can't do that. So if the worst case scenario for us is it comes out and everybody wants one and they can't find one, you know, scarcity is a great marketing tool sometimes. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to look on the positive side of the whole Corona thing. And, you know, hopefully it'll work. I hate to say this, but hopefully the disaster will work in our favor in that, you know, people will, you know, it'll drive up people's expectations because they can't find one. Right. It sounds like an awful thing to say, and I hate saying that, but I'm just being, you know, being truthful.
So you are optimistic about the October 10th date still at this time?
Today, right now, as I stand, yes.
Yeah.
You know, if, you know, people are saying that this is just the beginning, mm-hmm, of what we're going to be going through here in the U.S., I can tell you that back in China, you know, the word on the street that we're hearing is that like our factory is back running up about 50-60%. But the things people don't realize is that not only is it a supply chain thing, but, you know, manufacturing line, because they lost so much time, but all the big boys come in. You know, this is the worst year this could have happened for electronics because, you know, you got Sony coming out with their S20s now. You know, it's that year where, you know, every 7 years in the video game industry, boom, now Microsoft and Sony's the new machines. I'm doing a new machine. Atari's trying to do a new machine. And all the new cell phones are coming out this year. So they come in and they kind of, hey, we have 10 million orders. folks like us who are like cranking out 100,000, they're like, oh, yes, you'll need to wait. And then the other thing, too, is that the components, again, it's like toilet paper or face masks that we're seeing in the U.S. now. Everybody just started buying up because they were afraid that, you know, everybody's going to swap. So, which means components are now raising in price. So now it's driving the price of our machine up on launch as well. We're going to keep it under $249. I'm not going to go over that. I want to try to get it to $229. $219 would be great. I think by next Christmas, Christmas of 2021 or summer, whenever the thing starts to settle down, you'll see it at $199. I think that's our sweet spot. But the early adapters, you know, they've jumped in on $249, $279, $299. So I think we're in a good place right now. But yeah, as we stand today, yes, people are saying this could be over by the end of April. Let's all pray and hope that's true. Mm-hmm. If that happens, I think we're still good to go on 1010. If we're like into like May and June, mm-hmm. which again some people have predicted that as well, yeah, that's gonna ruin us. I say ruin the company and ruin the thing. When I say it's gonna ruin us, meaning it's gonna ruin that 1010 date. And there's nothing we can do. But I'm giving people, every interview I do, I give people literally the up-to-the-minute thing. And so now this now becomes, Bobby Blackwolf Show now becomes the latest up-to-the-minute on that.
And we're recording this on April 5th, 2020. So for those listening on audio, this is April 5th. So I wanted to touch on some things because a lot of my normal viewers and normal listeners know a lot of like what was said in the early days of the Amico, and there was a lot of discussion, especially on the show after us, Orange Lounge Radio, who you've also been on their show in the past. But they had some kind of spirited discussion around the initial. This is what the Intellivision Amico is going to have. We're talking like a year ago, so I want to clear some of this up. Because there's two things specifically that they're like, okay, how's that actually going to work? And the first one is in that initial announcement, the way it came across was no 3D games. And then we look on the trailers, and there's obviously 3D objects and 3D rendering and stuff. So what does that actually mean?
So what was meant, and the way I would describe it is I would say there's – that we focus on 2D and 2.5D. And I should have been more descriptive, assuming that people knew what 2.5D meant. That was my mistake. I'll take the blame. You know, 2.5D basically means, you know, it's a 3D game, but it's just on one axis, right? Mm-hmm. Our Moon Patrol game is a perfect example. Yes. The thing's built in 3D. In fact, most of our games are built in 3D, but you're only on one plane. You don't have to worry about X, Y axis, up and down, shoulder strafing, buttons, dual analog sticks, nothing like that. So when I say no 3D, what I'm really saying, Bobby, is that there's no free roaming 3D.
No like camera controls.
Yes, like in a Call of Duty or like, cause you could even argue too that like, well, what about a bowling game? A bowling game is, well, it's not really free roaming 3D though, but it's 3D and you roll the ball and the, you know, whatever, but it's sanctioned off though, right? You can't go over to this alley whenever. So that's how I've kind of changed my dialect on that is that, no free roaming 3D.
Then the other thing that came up with a lot of people is in the initial verbiage, I believe, was nothing that would score less than 70 on Metacritic. And obviously, the what if first one that came, you didn't mean to say that one?
No, I never said that.
Oh, you never
said that?
That
at all. That was just a rumor. What we said, and it's in our initial trailer as well, is that we said. And I wanted to name it something that kind of cute, but we call it the Blue Sky Rangers quality control, quality assurance. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who don't know, Blue Sky Rangers is what the initial you know, internal team at Mattel who kind of created Intellivision and created a lot of these great games. They were referred to in a TV Guide argument, TV Guide article and interview back in the early 80s. And they didn't, this was back when no one would give names of people. So they were just called the Blue Sky Rangers. And it kind of, you know, went from there. But what, when I say it's got to score at least a 7 out of 10, we're talking about our internal scale.
Okay.
Not, it has nothing to do at all with care about Metacritic at all. I don't care about the people who review video games online, because a lot of those video game hardcore gamers who review video games, they're going to hate this thing and they're going to blast it. So I'm not going to put out a game on what some, you know, super hardcore elitist gamer who loves Call of Duty, and they're like, what the hell is this shark? This is crap. I give it a 2. You know, so no, it has zero to do with Metacritic and everything to do with our internal scale of about, look, here's the deal. I'm not going to put out anything mediocre. Because my two most important things, Bobby, is that I want to have value and trust with our customers. That's it. Value and trust. And if I can gain those two things, it's not money. Money's not the most important thing to us. If it was, I wouldn't be selling games for $9.99. You know, I wouldn't be having, you know, in the last video game system was that had two controllers packed in, the last major video game console.
Was it like a Super Nintendo, I think?
You're exactly right. Super Nintendo, 1990. Bobby, I like your shirt.
Thank you.
It's been 30 years since a video game company has packed in two controllers. Are you kidding me? Like, this is where the video game industry has become, right? And so,
Hit you on a technicality, Tommy.
Please,
because the Switch.
Well, if you're gonna say the Switch is
you can
take the
Switch
in.
It has two controllers. No. It's got a left and a right.
Here's what I say. I say where individual controllers. Yeah. When's the last time a video game system came out with two individual controllers?
It's still Super Nintendo. Is still the answer.
Still Super Nintendo.
So there are a couple questions in chat, but I wanted to ask one more question because. Once this thing comes out, so this is after it comes out and after I get it in my grubby little hands. I am actually a software developer by trade, and I even do some software development of like VR stuff. Is there, do you envision, or are you guys looking at allowing like any kind of homebrew development where I own an Amico? Can I try to program for it, or is it just something that's going to be limited to people who you guys vet and have a deal with?
Yeah, it's kind of limited to that, because again, we want to got to be careful with our whole, you know, making sure that parents can trust every single thing that's on there. You know, God forbid somebody puts something nasty on there, or sexual, and then it gets passed around, and then all of a sudden, you know, little Johnny comes home from school and wait a second, I thought Amico was supposed to be there. So yeah, we have to curate everything. That's just the nature of our system. But it would be easy for someone like you to actually become a developer. It would be very simple. There's no reason for you to do a homebrew. What we say is, hey, if you got a great concept, we're going to finance your dream. You tell it. And if you need audio, we'll give it to you. I know a good guy who does audio for video games. By the way, I am actually doing all of the sound design and a lot of the music. Me and my guy Joey Curris, who's been with me 30 years, the two of us are doing the sound design. I'm producing all the music and stuff. Our art director at Intellivision is Mike Dietz. Now, for those of you who might not know the name, here's the games he was the art director and art animator for. You might have heard of Earthworm Jim 1, Earthworm Jim 2, Disney's Aladdin, Cool Spot, Global Gladiators. All those games won awards for their art and animation, as well as their music. Mm-hmm. And so this is the guy who, you know, will give you help, right? If you need art direction. Same thing with optimization. You know, how about talking to the people who actually created the console. They can help you to optimize and this and that. So we make it easy. And here's our promise to all our developers. We never come out with two games at a time ever. So when your game comes out, and again, we're true partners here. When your game comes out, it's the only thing that is on the machine for like 10 to 14 days.
Okay.
And for indie developers, that's amazing because one of the things that they, you know, that they lack is PR and marketing. Not only the departments, but money to even advertise at all. So you put your game out, you spent 2 years bootstrapping the whole thing yourself. Maybe you ran a Kickstarter or something, and now you put it out on Steam, and like within 10 hours, you're off the what's new list. Yeah. Or you drop it in the Nintendo eShop. I mean, again, I don't want to seem like I'm ragging on Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo. I love all those companies for different reasons. I also, there's stuff I don't like with those companies for different reasons. And I love Nintendo. I love Mario, Zelda, all that. I love the Wii.
Really? I watched G4 back in the day. Are you sure?
I did. I just held them to a higher standard. And I don't like the kiddie crap.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, like I personally don't like the kiddie crap. Like people are like, oh, Amico, is it going to be like just for little kids? No, there's going to be a lot of stuff on there for little kids, but it doesn't have to be big-headed, cheesy music kind of crap, right? And so, but the thing is like the e-store, the e-shop is total confusion. Mm-hmm. I hate it. As a consumer, I dislike the e-shop. So we just everything needs to be more simplified, more easy, you know?
Yeah. SJ Winner Matt had a good question about this. Is how hard has it been to kind of go through all these indie game submissions? Because when you announced the console and you asked for indie devs, you were bombarded with submissions. So what was it like going through all those?
You know, we have a great team of folks. We have three different producers who kind of go through all that stuff, vet it, take the best of the best and bring it to me. So in fact, one of our producers is Jason Enos. Yeah. He's our vice president of production. The guy who was the producer, you might've heard some of the games he worked on. I don't know. They're kind of indie titles, but you might've heard of them. Yeah. All the Metal Gear Solid games, Silent Hill, Dance Dance Revolution, Contra, Castlevania. Oh yeah. That's who we have. And so that's the thing is when I started this, Bobby, you know me a long time. Yep. You know that I know a lot of people in the industry. I've worked on 350 games in my career. I own the Guinness World Record for the person who's worked on the most video games, meaning I've worked with everybody. I was the first American ever hired to work on the Sonic franchise. I worked hand in hand with Shigeru Miyamoto for 5 years on Metroid Prime. I know them all. And so when I started, I literally started sniping every AAA person that I needed, that I knew that could help us out. On our executive team alone, we have over 600 years experience in the video game world. Sony and Microsoft don't even have that. Nintendo does, but Sony and Microsoft. And that's the kind of, you know, serious things that we're doing because when people, big folks in the industry, hear what we're doing and hear our mission, oh my gosh, yeah, people are leaving jobs. They've been there. Like, we have the former president of Nintendo is working with us, you know? I mean, this is the guy, he was the head of the internal team, Japanese guy, who is the head of the internal team at Nintendo of America. He's the guy who did Wave Race 64. He was the president of internal. So these are the types of folks we have, you know, working with us.
Yeah, we're fans of Jason Enos here at the network. He's a friend of the network because of the DDR connection.
There you go. Oh, of course. That makes sense. Yes.
Beatmania 2DX was my jam, and I know he was instrumental in bringing that to the U.S.
Isn't that great? Today, so. I mean, the Konami didn't want to have anything to do with Dance Dance Revolution.
Yeah.
No one would have been able to play it if not for Jason Enos.
Yes.
And now he's been working full-time for Intellivision for the last couple of years.
Yeah. So,
There's a good question there. Evil says, how expensive is it to become a developer?
Yes.
Nothing. We give you everything. We don't charge people to make games for us.
Awesome. I may be applying. I don't know. So we're getting up to the end of time, but I actually wanted to touch on something that had nothing to do with video games.
Okay.
Because I – and you post about this on social media, and it's one of those things like I see you post about it like once a year.
Oof.
And I have no clue the context. But you are a big baseball fan.
Oh, I thought you were talking about oof.
No. I wasn't going to go to oof. I wasn't going to go there. This is something – this is hopefully happy time.
Okay.
So you're a big fan of baseball. Not high heat baseball 2003, but baseball.
Zero.
And once a year – I see that you always post these things where you're in a New York Yankees uniform and you have a locker that has your name on it in New York Yankees and you're in pinstripes and you're on a field. And I have no context as to what it is. I just see you talk about it once a year. What is that? And it, because it looks a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, Yankees have the New York Yankees does these camps and I played baseball growing up. I was very close to the Yankees organization. I have a lot of friends who still work with, in the Yankees organization and a lot of people get together, ex-players, even current players, but mostly, ex-players and get together and there's 100, 150 or so people from all over the U.S. Can come together and we all get up on teams and we spend a week together and have fun it's great. It's a really fun thing. And I've been doing it for, over 20 years, but I was a big Yankees fan growing up. Of course, all my parents and grandparents from New York. So it's a real honor and a pleasure to be, playing on the same field as some of these greats.
What positions do you play?
I'm a shortstop and center field and left field.
All right.
I'm very quick. I'm short but quick.
There you go. The Intellivision Amico VIP pre-orders are still available right now. Is that what I'm remembering?
Yes. We're gonna shut them off on Tuesday night. We might extend it. We're not sure, but it depends on how many we get on Monday and Tuesday. But if you want one, go to IntellivisionAmico.com. You can see it right there. Now, here's the thing, though. I want to make this clear because we're in this crazy, world right now with everything that's going on with the pandemic. All we ask for is $100 down. We're not asking you to put the whole thing down. This isn't some Kickstarter. It's not some Indiegogo campaign. Here's the deal. We say put $100 down, but at any time you can, it's 100% refundable. Mm-hmm. At any time. You want to put one down tomorrow and next Friday you're like, oh gosh, something happened. I need the money. Yeah. You just contact us. Boom. Within 10, 15 minutes, the money's back. So if you're looking to get one, really think about it, and you don't even have to decide if you want to decide later, but I'm telling people out there, I'm warning you, these are going to be very scarce. So if you're at all interested, put it down, and then later on if you play it and you don't like it, you can get your money back. It doesn't matter, but if you, before we ship it to you,
right?
I gotta say that. But if you play it in a store or play it over a friend's house or something, but anyway, you'll be getting it first though anyway.
Yes.
So you'll be the one. Everybody will be over your house.
Yes.
Playing it.
Yes.
Oh, do you want another exclusive? Because
yes.
I know we're backed up against time.
That's fine.
This is a silly one, though.
Okay.
This is a silly one. So I've been doing interviews here, from the coronavirus. I've been doing a lot of interviews. I'm in my desk in my studio. Mm-hmm. And everybody, like hundreds of people, have been asking about this ceiling fan behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, like, the position, there's no way that ceiling fan could turn on. Because it's going to hit the ceiling.
Yeah.
It's impossible. So I said, look, the next stream I do, and I've been promising this for a very long time, I said, the next stream I'm going to do, I'm going to turn it on. So I'm going to give you Bobby Blackwolf.
Yes.
The Bobby Blackwolf Show. You're going to get a world exclusive right now.
I've maximized your video. We're all set. I'm off the screen.
Now, this might go horribly wrong because I haven't turned it on in 10 years. So it might not even work. And who knows? It could take down my ceiling. So if that happens, we'll all have a good laugh.
Everybody get the clip button ready.
Yeah. Here we go, folks. Are you ready?
Okay. We're ready.
Here it comes. Oh, wait. That's a light.
The lights work.
Go.
Whoa. Oh, my gosh.
Whoa.
You can do it. You can do it. I feel like this needs the Color of Dinosaur theme.
Yeah, bring the Color of Dinosaur theme in.
Oh, you think I was joking?
No, bring it in.
You can't hear it, but everybody on stream can.
Oh, okay. Well, here, I'll put it up. I'll put it on my...
There it is. There it is. Everybody on our stream can hear it.
Hold on, wait. Oh, wait, how about a double? Hold on, here we go. I think I got it somewhere. Where would that be?
There we go. Everybody's hearing it right now. There you go.
Here we go. Here it is. I don't know what tune you're playing, but I'm playing this one.
Here we go. Oh, I'll stop the mic so you can hear this. There you go.
Okay. Okay, wait.
There it is.
Okay, let me turn it up.
There you go. It cuts out a little bit. Anyway, it's becoming a little dead air. Discord's kind of messing with the audio a little bit.
Okay.
But fun fact, everybody, if you have the latest Video Games Live album, listen all the way to the end.
You should I caught it.
You
did.
I never even
officially announced that to anyone.
I caught it. I actually asked on Twitter, I'm like, when is Color of Dinosaur coming to Video Games Live? And you're like, wait for it. And like, you wrote that like months before the CD came out. And then it came out and I'm like, I recognize that. Wait a minute.
That's funny. I put it in, like, it's like about like a minute after the classic arcade melody, and yes. I don't even reference it on the on the notes. It's the hidden track. You found it.
I did.
Only person I think who ever found that.
I laughed heartily. Well, Tommy, thank you so much for
awesome,
your time.
Man. Thanks for having me.
I look forward to getting my Founders Edition. I'm not going to be asking for my money back. I'm going to be throwing more money whenever that happens.
I appreciate it. Thank you for the support.
Yeah, and take care of yourself and your family, man.
Awesome, man. I appreciate it. You too, Bobby. I hope to talk to you. I hope it's not a year before we talk again.
Yeah.
Let's do something when the machine comes out or when it's getting closer to...
Absolutely. Sounds great.
Awesome.
Take care, man.
Thank you, my friend.
So there we go. Tommy Tallarico was here. Thank you so much, Tommy, for being a part of the show. So usually at this point I say, hey, you know, Orange Challenge Radio is coming up next. We do actually have another video game talk show coming on right after us on this channel. So if you are here for Tommy, check out Orange Challenge Radio. They are coming up next. Usually I bring them in and we talk, but I'm not going to do that. I do want to leave with one last thing, though. And it's because we've done a really good job of really not like referencing the world and everything that's going on right now. And we did that on purpose. So what I wanted to mention was that me and my wife, we take walks around the neighborhood, which is still desired by medical professionals. It's good to get some fresh air. It's good to get some vitamin D in your system. And when we walked through our neighborhood, we saw a sign at one of our neighbors had put, and I'm going to describe it for our audio podcast audience. It's a handwritten sign that says everything will be okay. And I don't know who needs to hear this, but everything's going to be okay. Even if things don't seem okay right now, everything's going to be okay. It's going to be rough for the next couple weeks. These next couple weeks are probably going to be the hardest part of what we're going through here as a collective world. I'm glad we could take your mind off of it for an hour, but everything will be okay. And things will be back at some point, hopefully soon, maybe a little bit later, but hang in there. So that is it for me. I do want to mention that we are part of the Georgia Streamers Network or the Georgia Influencers Network. I can't remember exactly what we're calling it right now, but there are some streams based out of Georgia where I am that I do want to mention real quick. I'm running up on time, but on April 6th at 8 p.m., Mark Mandel, who's a developer advocate for Google Cloud for Games, is going to do a talk about how you can't add more servers. Interactive discussion on designing multiplayer games and how to scale them up. That is going to be at twitch.tv/MarkMandel. On April 7th at 5 o'clock Eastern, Fading Suns co-developers Bill Bridges and Andrew Greenberg are going to discuss their Fading Suns setting and on religion and science fiction. That's going to be at twitch.tv/UlyssesInternational. And then at 8 p.m. that night, Dr. Unity from Stellblox Studios will give another Unity 3D workshop, this time on inputting 2D animation into the game engine. That's going to be at youtube.com/user/GeorgiaGameDevs. So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come live and join us and be a part of the show directly. Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf, Twitter at Bobby Blackwolf, twitch.tv/BobbyBlackWolf, Instagram Bobby Blackwolf. That's where I am if you want to find me during the week. Or you go to VogNetwork.com/Discord. That's our Discord server. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody. But it may be for somebody who doesn't know about it yet. But I want to thank all the people that have supported us here on Twitch with your follows. We save these all to the end. So thank you to Savage Jungle Beast. He followed. Groover 1000 followed. OEB Pete followed. Act Deft gifted a sub to Tommy Tallarico. Thank you so much for that, Act Deft. Art of Mana followed. HDI Andrew followed. Omega Mendez followed. Loki resubscribed for his 13th month. Dober Mickey followed. Ambrosine Zero followed. And SJ Watermat just cheered 700 bits. Thank you so much. If you subscribe to the channel, you get access to our video on demand archives. This episode in full will be posted on our YouTube channel, so you don't need to go subscribe to be able to see this one. But if you want to see any of our other stuff, we'd like a subscription. But we also understand right now, you probably can't. I understand. I hope you guys take care of yourselves and stay safe out there. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. I'm going to hit this button that's going to play the outro music. And then thank you so much for being here. I hope some of you will stick around for next week. But thank you so much for Tommy Tallarico, and wash your hands. See you. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.